You go throw seed out in your yard, you don't have to do anything for that seed. It goes into the ground on its own. When it gets in there, it's going to come up. You don't think so? Let some weeds get in your yard. They go prolifically. But you plant good seed, and guess what? You get good fruit, and you get an abundance. But then God says, because of that, because of your giving, because of your right attitude, I'm not going to hold on to this, God. I want to give. I want to help your people. I want to do something. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Now we quote that scripture, God, this is what you're doing. You say you'll do this. Okay, what have we done in the first part? What did we plant? Have we been busy planting good fruit by doing our own giving and then letting that grow into what he said, I knew you planted then, and I'm bringing the harvest because I know you need the harvest here. Amen? I know this congregation, and I know this congregation is a congregation of givers. And God has blessed this congregation from where we started when it was, well, Lord, how are we going to meet the need when we were paying for every service that we had? We can't afford to have extra services because then it costs us that much more. To 1 month here is more than what it cost us for that whole month there. God has increased and blessed. Amen. Let me read the same verse out of Philippians, out of the NIRV, the same four verses. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help when I needed it. And you did it more than once. It's not that I want your gifts. What I really want is what's best for you. I have received my full pay and have more than enough. I have everything I need. That's because Epaphroditus brought me the gifts you sent. They are a sweet-smelling offering. They are a gift that God accepts. He is pleased with it. My God will meet all your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches. These riches come to you because you belong to Christ Jesus. Give glory to our God and Father forever and ever. Amen. This was worship. Worship to God that he would meet your needs. Oh, was it? How did he finish it? Give glory to God and the Father forever and ever. Amen. Amen means may it be so. I am in total agreement with this statement. May it be so. We say amen as a period or a punctuation mark at the end of a prayer, but it means something. If you're in agreement, amen. Amen. Okay? It means something. So be it. I am standing in agreement with you. Amen. Meeting your needs is something God wants to do. He's not sitting up there on his throne saying, oh, great, here they come again. All they're doing is asking. He says, do you hear that, son? Do you hear that? They're believing me. What's in the word? And they're asking for something. Hey, it's in my will. Angels, go do it. He gets the glory for having taken us, being nobodies, and bringing us into being the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We are his trophy of glory that he's going to point to in the further ages and say, this is my glory. You! This is my glory. Pointing to us. That's what the word says. Don't you think he'll shower on you now? Whoa, wait a second. That's what the word said, isn't it? He'll shower on you now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 in the New King James says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. If we stopped right there, we've got a lot of work to do right there. Do not worry about your life. what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. First God says, don't worry. Then he tells us all of this about the birds and the flowers and the grasses and how that he takes care of them. And then he turns to us and says, oh, you of little faith. We're not the only ones that have that kind of faith. But God, what are you going to do? Oh, God, I don't have this. I don't have that. Oh, you of little faith. In other words, let's turn that around. Let's not worry. Let's praise him and thank him that he's already going to take care of it and be those of big faith. Let's not be like the children or the disciples in the boat saying, Jesus, you don't even care that we're going to die. I imagine that when Jesus came back and they realized that they'd said that to him, when he came back from the dead and they're putting their hands in his side and in his in the holes in his hands and looking him in the eyes and hearing it ring in their ears, you don't even care that we're going to die. You imagine how little they felt? Because all he did was stand up and say, oh, you have little faith, and he calmed the storm and they were marveled. He'd told them, we're going to go to the other side. And then he laid down and slept because he was at peace. The storm wasn't going to take him out. He knew that. He was at peace. Shalom. They stayed awake to find out. Amen. And then they told him, don't you care? Oh, I'm sure that rings back in their memory that it came out of their mouth over and over. 10,000 years from now, Peter's probably going to go, Lord, remember in the boat when I said you didn't care? He goes, enough, Peter. We've been over this a number of times. Yes, I've already forgiven you for that. He's more than enough for our situation. But going on, verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles aren't just those that aren't Jews. They're those who are not believers. They're not Jewish. They're not the church. They're the nations, the Gentiles. Okay, it's what they seek. And then God adds the postscript. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God said, don't worry. Then he chastened us about our faith. Don't be of little faith. Then he stated, I will add all things to you. I will. God can't lie. I want to tell you about that verse, 33. I don't know if you've been up into North Dakota, Canada, but right north of Botineau, there is a place called the Peace Garden. Half of it's in the U.S. and half of it's in Canada. You go up the road and you go through custom checkpoint, and the road goes right past the Peace Garden, and you say, I'm going to the Peace Garden. They say, okay, and they let you through. And when you come back out, they say, I came from the Peace Garden. Well, they've watched you go in and out from the Peace Garden. They know where your car came from. And the same with people coming the other way. But if you try to come out and go on through, you say, I came from the Peace Garden. Yes, but you're from the U.S. You went through there. And then they'll check you out like they normally would. in the Peace Garden. You walk in the front gates from the parking lot, and there are two sidewalks heading, I mean, they're wide sidewalks, but they're heading down through the middle of this place. Right down the middle, the grass in the middle, is the boundary between Canada and the U.S. So you walk down the southern side, and you're in the U.S. side. You walk down the northern side of that, going east and west, and you're in the Canadian side. And then there's a lot more park, a lot more area, flowers and grasses. It's beautiful. But right in the middle, straight in the middle, right on the border, there is a chapel. They call it the Peace Chapel. And you walk in, and there are all kinds of granite slabs, and they have sayings carved in them that are peaceful sayings. And this verse in Matthew is in there. And you read it, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you look at it, and you read the next, and you read the next, and you go, wait a second, something's missing. You go back, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." They removed his righteousness. The problem is, if you seek his kingdom to try to get things added to you, but you forget his righteousness, you're not going to get what you deserve. Because you can't seek his kingdom without his righteousness. Amen? In the NIRV, that same verse says, "But put God's kingdom first." See, we live in a republic here in the United States. A democratic government, but it's a republic. And here's the thing. We forget, as children of God, we're in a kingdom. We don't elect our leader. We don't say, "I don't like him, but I'll wait until he's voted out, and then I'll get another." He's king. And when he says, "This is the way it is," you don't have the right to say, "No, it's not." In America, you can say that about our leaders. Elected officials, they say, "This is the way it is." Say, "No, no, 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 no. I petition you to change that." And we have that mindset in the church. We do it in church government. We do it everywhere. We do it with our bosses. But that's not a kingdom. A kingdom is, he's in charge. He says, "This is how it's going to be." And that's it. But put God's kingdom first. How do you find his kingdom? You search his word. You understand his word. You learn about him. It's not that you couldn't go out and do certain things that people call sin. It's you don't want to. You don't want to. Because you're in love with him and you want to please him. And you know his kingdom says it's not what you should be doing. It's not what I want my children doing. So put his kingdom first. Do what he wants you to do. Then all those things will also be given to you. Do you have a relationship with God enough to know what he wants you to do? He gave you the manual. He gave you the roadmap, the Holy Bible. He gave you what you need for everything, for a life and for godliness, including giving you his word so he didn't leave you alone. Read the word. Find out what the word says about finances, about prosperity, about healing, about salvation. You can start in Genesis. You can end up in Revelation, and you're going to find it all the way through. 3 John. Now, 3 John only has one chapter. And so it's 3 John, verse 2 and 3. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." People will claim this, will spout it back to God, and say, "I'm supposed to prosper and be in health. The word says it," and it does. But it says, "just as your soul prospers." Are you growing in the Lord? Are you feeding yourself? Are you reading the word, and you're on your knees before God, and you're in communication with him, and you're letting yourself grow spiritually? If you are, you should be prospering to the same tune. You should be walking closer and closer to Him in health, in holiness, and prosperity follows. It happens. It's the seed God's planted in you because of sozo, salvation, deliverance, provision, and healing. It happens. Once you start getting the word in you, start realizing what He's given you, and you start standing on that, you start seeing it happen. Now, many of us got saved because we didn't want to go into a devil's hell. We got saved because we didn't want to be crispy critters and fry the rest of our lives. Some people were scared into hell, or out of hell and into heaven. And they've never gone any farther than that. They're not prospering as their soul. Their soul's not prospering. Guess what? The more you get into the Word and you start learning what He has for you, and that He has so much for you, and he's doing so much in you, you start growing out of those diapers, so to speak, and you start getting off of the milk and into the meat of the Word, you start growing, He starts doing these things in your life. He starts prospering you. But He says, I want your soul to prosper too. I just don't want you to be a bunch of rich little babies. I want you to grow up and mature. Rich babies don't know how to handle riches or how to handle finances. But mature people should. And so He wants us to grow up so that He can give us more, so He can do more for us. Because you give a child a priceless heirloom and they're over there teething, they're going to chew on it and stuff and bat it on the floor. And next thing you know, it's all broken. But you give that to someone that's a little more responsible and say, now this was so-and-so's. It's been in the family for years and it's priceless. Oh, I'll take care of it and I'll put it up. He wants us to be that way. As we walk in Him to understand what He's doing in us, we then grow and He can trust us with more. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you read this prayer, Exodus in chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's saying as you grow and mature, you will walk into more and more of this. God wants you to prosper. He doesn't want you to stay poor. Jesus became poor that we may be rich. Rich in everything. Rich in personality. Rich in heart. Rich in our divine health. You know, you don't have to get sick. If you do, there's nothing wrong with it. And there's healing, divine healing for it. But you can walk in divine health. The children of Israel left Egypt, and there were no sick among them. But there also weren't any sick among them when they got to Israel. There were those who were bit by the snake, but they were told to look on the brazen serpent. And if you look on it, you'll be healed. That was Christ lifted up. If we look on Him, we will be healed. But healed is another way of being made whole. Financial, spiritual, emotional, physical. Look to Him. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, in the Amplified Classic, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Too many times people say, and I don't have a slide for that, but too many times people look at, but God can't do it that way. But God can't, because, see, when you sit down and you put the pencil to the paper, we have until here on the calendar and there's nothing else coming in, and then we die. Remember the widow and the prophet? There's a couple different stories about the widow and the prophet. One, she was ready to make the last cake for her and her son. And the preacher said, make it for me instead. But I'm going to make one for him, and then we're going to die. This is all we have. Make it for me instead, and God will. And God did. She put the man of God first and gave it to him, and the meal sack and the oil did not fail. They had food for the three of them for the rest of the duration. Another time, she had nothing, and her husband had died. All she had was, he said, what do you have? I have a cruse of oil. He could have said, go sell it and see what you can get for it. He said, no, go borrow every vessel you can. He didn't tell him, go borrow 100 vessels or 50 vessels or 20 vessels. He said, go borrow every vessel you can. So their faith was that the two sons went out and borrowed every vessel they could find. And when they stopped asking and carrying him in, maybe the room couldn't hold him more. But when they stopped, then they closed the doors and the windows and they started taking that cruse of oil and took it and said, here's a 5-gallon bucket. Do you want to start with that one? Why don't we start with this flower pot over here? It's a lot smaller. Well, they start pouring. Next thing you know, that 5 gallons filled up. Okay, here's a 3-quart one. And they kept going. And the little cruse, and they kept going. And finally, the woman said, bring me another vessel. I'm about full with this one. And the son said, there aren't any more. And the oil stopped flowing. And they told the prophet, and he said, now take that and go sell. And she went and sold. They went and sold all that oil. They got paid for it. God provided something supernaturally and took care of all of their needs. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We limit God by saying, here on the calendar is the last day that we're going to be able to eat, and then we're going to fall off the face of the earth. And God, you might as well come in the rapture right after that, because I can't make it. And you probably won't, because your faith was smaller than her going and sending her sons out with her having that little bitty cruse of oil. Go and get as many as you can. They're coming back in with all these different buckets and vessels and stuff, and she didn't stop them. Keep coming. Go get more. Go get more. Go get more. God's ways are above our ways. Reading 3 John 2 and 3 in the New International Version. Dear friend, I know that your spiritual life is going well. I pray that you also may enjoy good health, and I pray that everything else may go well with you. Some believers came to me and told me that you are faithful to the truth. They told me that you continue to live by it. The news gave me great joy. And in the same verses in the Complete Jewish Bible, dear friend, I'm praying that everything prosper with you and that you be in good health. As I know you are prospering spiritually, for I was so happy when some brothers came and testified how faithful you are to the truth as you continue living in the truth. See, as you prosper spiritually, and people see it, and other people share your testimony of what God's doing in your life, and as they're sharing your testimony of what God's doing in your life, God's pouring back into you. You all have needs tonight. Every one of us do. But you need to take those needs and say, God, I may have a room full of vessels and just sitting here with a small vial of cruse of oil. But you said that you're more than enough. I believe you. I don't believe the circumstances. I praise you in all things, and I'm in it. But Father, you said you're going to take care of me. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. you tell me to prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to seek you. And guess what? God says, I will take care of you. There's another verse that says, I've not seen my seed forsaken or my children begging bread. You read the Word of God and you find out that God cares for you more than you can ever think about or worry about yourself. But He says, don't worry. Give it to me. He said, cast all your cares on me. Not, I'll give you this one, but God, I'm holding on to the rest of them. We do that. He says, give them all to me. Why? Because He knows you can't carry them. They will tear you apart. He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. I don't want you tearing yourself apart. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this word go deep within us. And they go deep enough that the fruit starts busting out. Father, everyone here is a tither and a giver. I claim tither's rights over each one of them. That your word cannot lie. You say you will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more than can be contained. And that then you will also go and rebuke the devourer for their sakes. Father, I've watched each one of these people grow over the years. I know they're prospering spiritually, and I claim spiritual prosperity to continue, but I claim the physical, emotional, financial prosperity to also hit their homes, hit their doorsteps, hit their bank accounts. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word, because it cannot lie, and you cannot lie. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody have any needs tonight? Oh, I got a bunch of them. God's going to take care of them. Take them to Him. Take them to Him, because He knows what they are. Do you ever go to your mom or your dad when you're growing up and say, I need to tell you about this? And, oh, it just you just worked up the nerve to go do it. And they said, I already knew that. How'd you do it? How'd you know that? By the time you work up the nerve to go to God and say, God, I need you to meet this need. He goes, not only am I meeting the need, I planted it already and I'm ready to harvest it and give it to you. It's already grown. I don't have to wait for the seasons for it to grow. I've already got it because I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope, not to harm you. He doesn't say, sit down over there, it's just springtime and we've got to wait until October. I'll give you something in October. I won't be alive in October, God. I have a few meals in there. He goes, I've already got it. It's in the barn. It's coming your way. Believe it. Receive it. Let's go ahead and do the Perkik Kohanim.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Go in the peace of God. Go in the prosperity of God. Go in the grace of God. Be whole in Jesus' name.